Hey, thanks for listening to the Two Pros and a Cup of Joe podcast with Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox, and myself, LeVar Arrington. Make sure you catch us live weekdays 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern or 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. You can find your local station for the Two Pros and a Cup of Joe show over at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Two pros and a cup of Joe. It is LeVar Arrington. It's Brady Quinn. And it's Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. That's right. We are now the permanent hosts here of this time slot, which just goes to show you when other candidates are in the parking lot.
We got the show now.
Do not type that in randomly to like a Google search and then search for scenes because the scene I watched or the one it was the one you sent. I was like, I'll never forget that. That was so awesome.
I had no idea. True story. I had no idea who the hell Bucky Larson was. And LeVar said it looked like Mark Davis. I was like, well, I don't get it. What are you talking? I pulled it up on the screen in here mid-segment and I had to lean away from the mic because I started laughing because it looked so much like him. That's LeVar, though. Just a broadcast professional. A class act through and through that LeVar Arrington here. That's why we love
him. Let's not talk about the plot of that movie.
Yeah.
I mean, when your mom and dad are adult film stars, you have no choice but to be, an adult.
Interesting.
Superstar.
Yeah.
In that same industry.
Yeah.
Yes, there you go.
Of those.
Did you saw how carefully structured my words
were? It did sound like he followed in his dad's footsteps, though, based on. What I read. But
he wasn't, but he was.
A lot of those lot of those adult movies are shot in Chatsworth, California. It's been a legendary adult movie film location here.
Did you ever tell LeVar the story? I don't know if you could say this on air.
Tell LeVar
during the parade.
I just make clear for anybody waking up listening in Chatsworth on the Blowtorch AM 570 LA Sports.
Good morning.
We were going to give him a little bit of love here.
Can you say this much? You were able to talk to some people, and you now have very much in-depth knowledge on that industry.
Fascinating. Not everything is how it appears.
Almost nothing is.
LA?
That's very good point. A good point.
Okay.
Is that a shot at the Chargers? Are you taking a shot at the Chargers or the Rams here? What are you doing there?
The Rams won.
Yeah, I'm just seeing if
they tried to give it away, but they won.
They definitely tried. The Chargers, come up short against the Dallas Cowboys. By the way, for those of you that listen to Weekend Overnight Radio, which is a small group of you, Knox Locks 2-0 this week. Just saying. Anybody want to pick winners? I'm just saying Knox Locks was 2-0 this week. So there's that.
Who?
Screw you. By the way, we are brought to you by Discover. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover is accepted at 99% of places in the U.S. to take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen report. Limitations apply. Rookie quarterbacks. Zach Wilson. Let's just go down the list. Do we want to start with Trevor Lawrence because he was taken number one overall? Do we want to go with Trevor Lawrence? I'm more optimistic about Trevor Lawrence than I am Zach Wilson, and I don't know if it's because of the four interceptions Zach Wilson threw.
Jeez!
But good God,
making me look bad.
Hey, are the Jets ever going to be decent? I'm not asking the Jets to be good. I'm not asking them to bring back the guy who licks feet, Rex Ryan, to get him into the playoffs.
He clearly understood how to get him going.
Brady, the guy's got a foot fetish. All right, can we just call what it is?
Okay. We can. I'm going to avoid that for now and try to stick to football.
A guy orders a Caesar salad with bunions, and I'm supposed to leave that alone? I'm supposed to leave
that
alone?
I got a weak stomach, man.
I got to leave that joke alone.
Yes. Oh, man.
Sorry.
Okay, let's get this thing back on track.
Yeah, please.
Trevor Lawrence. Both Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson are in bad situations. I mean, one of the hardest things is, one, Trevor Lawrence dealt with some drops from his receivers, which never helps. But they just, there's not much separation. And if DJ Chark is going to be their number one wide receiver, he has to start playing that way. And I don't know that he always does. And so, look, the roster needs a ton of help. I think my concern's more the way teams move the football versus that defense. I mean, he's always going to be playing from behind. He's always going to be in a shootout. And that's, I think, they're going to be the tough spot, even though they did jump out to a lead, at least in the first quarter, but then they're down at half. So it's a tough spot for him to be in. And the same thing could be said for Zach Wilson. I'm just less optimistic about him with the Jets, because I think that division's a lot better than what the AFC South is. So I look at it, I don't think his protection's great. He made some throws and some decisions that were highly questionable. I mean, they weren't even in the zip code of where someone was. And I got to be honest with you, LeVar, like, one of the things I was saying with a scout, and we were talking yesterday, I said, you know, this reminds me of what I saw his first couple years at BYU. Mm. Like, when everyone kept trying to get excited about what he did last year, I was like, but look at who they're playing. Look at the throws he's making against no one. And honestly, like, some of the throws he was making, I'm going, that's not going to be there in the NFL. Like, that's just, it's not even going to be an opportunity for him. Or he's not going to have that clean of a pocket when he goes to the Jets. So it's a lot of what I thought would happen. And I'm not saying, again, he doesn't have a nice release and he can't move around a little bit, but he's going to have a harder uphill battle. And I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure it's going to work out in the end. I mean, there's a lot of football left to be played, but he's in a really, really tough spot in New York.
But then you have a rookie on the other side of the ball who's just operating, you know, and maybe it was because it was against the Jets.
Yeah.
That he looked good, but man, I feel for Zach. Listen, I was calling for him to be the rookie of the year out of the quarterbacks, but then when you see the way this Jets team is playing, it's continuing to be much of the same. And it just makes you, for some it makes you wonder. For me, it doesn't make me wonder, because I always have to go back to the idea of when the structure of an organization doesn't change and the consistency of the dysfunction is there, then I don't care what your coach is going to be. I don't care who your coach is going to be.
Yeah.
I don't care who your players are going to be. You're still ultimately going to get the same results that the culture will produce as years go on. And it just seems like it's much of the same. And that's sad, because I think that the Salah is I think he's the type of guy that could change an organization's trajectory. One way or the other, Zach Wilson, you wanted him to be that pick. I thought it should have been Justin Fields. Maybe the second one. But, you know, it is what it is. But I don't know that Justin Fields would have been in a great situation if it was him.
The Jets mismanaged it. Let's just call it, they mismanaged it. And here's why they mismanaged it. They don't have a roster to compete, right? No. we all acknowledge it's a rebuild. So why the hell would you take a number two overall pick and throw him out there behind that crap that he's playing around and expect that he's gonna A, survive, and B, play well enough that his confidence is not going to be rattled the rest of the season or career?
It's not even confidence. I'm worried about his physical health.
Right.
Like, he's going to get beat up. He's not a big guy.
All of them do.
And that's the reality is you got to be able to deal with taking a beating in the NFL. I do wonder if the Jets were sitting there watching Mac Jones operate, and if they're saying to themselves, like, we got a little remorse. Maybe we should have looked at him
remorse.
A little harder. Yeah, like, maybe we should have went with him, because he seems to be able to diagnose and get the ball out quick and get it where it's supposed to go. He plays with a ton of confidence. He doesn't make those, you know, back-breaking ill-advised throws. I mean, the one thing he does, which this makes me laugh every time, dude, is when he starts to scramble around. And remember how week one he like had that fumble in the first, you know, pass attempt, because he was trying to basically burn the play and just incomplete and move on. He does that almost to the point where it's like, dude, a couple of these times you're going to get intentional grounding. Like, he had one where he scrambled forward and he literally threw it almost, and look at the feet of the lineman, but he was like pleading to the officials that there was a running back in the vicinity. I'm not so sure that was the case. That's about the only bad thing Mac Jones has done. He's played pretty flawless so far as a rookie in his first two games.
Well, that was why the 49ers, alleged by Schefter, moved up to get Trey Lance at, you know, the pick
That's
before.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know,
yeah.
So that they can make sure they got Trey Lance so that Mac Jones wouldn't go to the New England Patriots.
Is that like when Bill Polian said a few years ago that he had a first-round grade on Brady, Tom Brady, coming out of the draft? Bill Polian's like, I had a first-round draft. Yeah, that's why he left him sitting there six times. Well, we already had Peyton Manning. Okay, yeah. It's like, come on, man. Like, after the fact, we can all say what we want to say. So, I know this is not a possibility, but I just want to ask you guys why this is not a possibility. What if the Jets look at this situation and go, we're farther away from being able to compete and keep our quarterback safe than we thought? We don't want to ruin him this early in his career.
Can't do it.
Okay, why? Why can't you sit him and say, hey, man, watch from here. You're still our guy, but watch from here, and then let's move forward.
Because there's too many ways it could be interpreted, one, by the player, by the players, by the fans. You just can't do it. You can't do it. Once you've made that decision, you've made that decision.
Well, to your point, it'd be signifying that you're giving up on this season.
Already. Or so you're giving up on him.
Yeah, and what are you saying to the veterans who you brought in, probably trying to say, we're going to turn this thing around this year, right here, right now? And granted, I know they're getting paid for what they do, but that's when those guys start saying, yeah, I got a hamstring injury.
Yep.
Yeah, I could come back in 2 or 3 weeks. Yeah, it might take me 4 to 5 to 6 now,
yep.
You know?
Yeah.
He's in for it. Like, they are they look awful. They look absolutely terrible. Justin Fields, kind of a mixed bag. The thought process from a lot of people in watching that game was it felt like they used Justin Fields and Andy Dalton's game plan, and so they didn't really utilize him the best that they could. Allen Robinson dropped a touchdown pass. I mean, that was a perfect throw. So the numbers are a little bit misleading, but, you know, the Bears tried to give it away. They tried to give that game away, but par for the course when it comes to that organization and that franchise there, Brady. That's your team.
I mean, and on the other side, Joe Burrow, who was so good with the football, I mean, very seldom makes any mistakes. He threw back-to-back-to-back interceptions.
How'd that happen?
No, well, I'll tell you this much. I mean, I've never done that, but I remember, like, any time I threw multiple interceptions. Like, one of my biggest weaknesses was I harp so hard on mistakes, and I'm overly analytical. Like, I wish I wasn't, but that's just how my mind works. And so I remember if I threw two interceptions, it was like, I used to almost get so mad at myself. I almost wanted to walk up to the coach and be like, just bench me. I'm just bench me. I'm telling you to bench me right now. I don't deserve to be on this field. Like, I used to be so upset at myself anytime that happened, especially if it was like on me, meaning like bad read, bad throw, whatever the case was. If it was deflected or tipped or whatever, then I was like, all right, whatever. It's not really on me. Or like miscommunication that happens sometimes. But that's the hardest thing, and I could only imagine going out there and three straight times walking back off the field and being like, whoops, sorry, guys, my bad.
Remember when Fitzpatrick threw six in a game?
That's just
– I mean, at a certain
point. I couldn't
point.
Do it. I wouldn't do that. I couldn't look LeVar, if he was my teammate, in the face if I threw six, because I would have walked off the field at 3 or 4. I would have literally looked at him and said, I want to battle back for you. But this just ain't my game, man. This ain't my day. All right? I'm letting someone else go in for the betterment of you and everyone else at this point.
I generally have been the teammate when I played that, like, ran up to the QB, grabbed him, and looked him in the face and was like, bro, it's good. Like, you're good. Like, let's get this. Like, we're going to be all right. We're going to get it back for you.
Yeah.
But then there was that rare moment. There was that rarity. Like, that one time where you were just so disgusted by the way they were playing. That, and this would probably made it worse, because while I was always the dude that when you're coming off the field, we had to suddenly go back onto the field. When you're coming out, I'd be like, it's good, it's good, it's good. Look, I grab him, be like, it's all right. And then when that moment when I don't, like, you're coming on the field and you just look at the dude and you glare at him like, all right, man, get off the field. Like, that moment hurts. It hurts. You know, that sudden change.
Is there understanding, like, certain situations? Like, if it's a fourth down and he throws it, all right, it would have been a turnover on downs anyway. Or what happens if, like, I throw a bomb 60 yards downfield, gets picked off, and you're not, you know, backed up in your own red zone. Like, does that feel different to you? Are you like, okay, whatever, it's kind of like a punt?
So here's the mentality of a defender. We're actually very, very intelligently wired, you know, killing machines most often, at least from my era, right? Yes. So our take on it is that if you're taking a chance and we see that you're out there competing and you're going hard in the paint and just certain things are happening that just aren't in your favor, it's good. Like, all right, come on. Like, we got it. Like, let's keep plugging. But you know, you get a feel for if a guy is just out there and he's just out there, like he's not in it. Like maybe he has some home situations going on, or maybe he's not, you know, taking it as seriously as he needs to, whatever it may be, right? Maybe he thinks he's just really that good and it's everybody else's fault. When you get the feeling of it's everybody else's fault, or you're nonchalant about when these things happen, like, I'll get it back, like, whatever. Like, I be wanting to tear their flipping heads off, bro. Like, but you know the difference. So it's like, right. If I were playing with you, I know to you, it's important for you first. So I would never question it. Like, I would always support you. But if you were one of those type of dudes that it was like, well, you know what? Brady throws the ball. It's up to y'all to make it work from there. You know what I mean? Like, and the ball's getting turned over. Then I'm going to look at Brady and be like, Brady, bro, like, on God, bro. Like you keep playing like this, you are not going to make it home tonight. Like, that's the type of look I'm going to give you. You know what I mean?
Charles Peanut Tillman was on in an interview. I was filling in on a show a couple years ago, and I asked him just about – somehow in the conversation, remember the Jay Cutler playoff game, the NFC title game where he suffered the knee injury and he went out?
Yep.
Somehow it got brought up in the conversation, and Charles Tillman said, look, there's a misconception out there that the people were – upset with Jay that he didn't come back in the game. He's all, we weren't upset with Jay. We knew Jay was tough. We knew that he was hurt. The guy we were upset with was Todd Collins, because he didn't want to be out there. Because they went to Todd Collins, he said, and when you've got a quarterback who you know is terrified of the moment and doesn't want to be out there, he's all, we were pissed off.
Did they bench Todd?
Yes,
and they put in
Caleb Haney.
And
he's all, Caleb came in and played as well as he possibly could. We weren't upset with Jay. It was the guy that we knew was terrified of the moment and wanted no part of being in that game.
And then
you look at that guy and you just turn your face up to him. Like, like, why are you even collecting a check, you
But that's the thing is, dude, there are so many backups, like older guys who, like, didn't play much, and they'll want to hang around just to get the paycheck. And they are scared to death. And, like, honestly, preseason's their Super Bowl. They'll go out there, try to sling it around in preseason, make the stats still look good, the tape still look good, and then they're scared to death
to go in
a bad situation and have to fight. You know, if the season's gone awry or the starter gets hurt in a tough spot, they want no part of that because they feel like that may be their last days in the NFL.
I'm going to give you guys an example. I played with Jeff George, and I like Jeff George as a person, but he was, like, definitely the type of dude where he was so nonchalant. Like, he would just whiz the ball. His arm talent was crazy.
Do you want to tease us for the next segment? Is this a good story with Jeff George?
That was it, actually.
Oh, that was it. Okay, like,
The fact of it is that he would just throw it, and it looked good. It was a great-looking ball, and then people would pick it off all the time. And he'd come off the field like, hey, you know, y'all pay Jeff George to throw that ball to look good. Y'all, whatever happens after I let that ball go is on everybody else.
That's
part of the show.
Yeah,
he had a cannon, right?
Bruh,
he did.
That thing came off his head. Like, you'd
it
be
jumped.
Like, God, look at the way. And then somebody pick it off. And then he'd come off the field like nothing happened. No facial expression. Nothing. Like, okay, you do know we got to go back out here, right? You do know that the ball getting turned over means that we now have to go back out here and try to give you the ball back. So are you thinking that you might want to stop doing this? Or are we going to have to do this all day long?
Yeah, but it looked good, though.
I guess.
Hey, man.
I guess. You got style points.
There's something about that long ball. You know what I'm saying?
Jeez,
you can
man.
Sling that thing out there like that.
Even if it gets picked up, as long as somebody catches it, it's entertainment, I guess.
Maybe he thought if he threw it hard enough, the defenders wouldn't catch it.
No, literally, that's a thing. Like literally,
I was kidding. You're serious?
No, I'm dead serious. There's quarterbacks who just, you try to rip it in certain windows.
Jesus.
And you pray to God it doesn't get tipped so it doesn't slow it down. But the passes that are the easiest to get picked off are like any of the touch throws or anything with trajectory. If you rip some of those passes in there, more often than not, they ain't going to catch it.
It is a two pros. I told you it was going to happen.
It happened. Davidson did a prop
two
bet.
Two pros and a cup of Joe. It's LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. Coming up next, don't overthink something in the NFL. It's pretty obvious to everybody who's watched a second of football all season long. We'll have that for you next here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It is Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here on FSR. By the way, coming up 15 minutes from now, if you've ever had an embarrassing moment at a stadium, at a game, at a venue, at an event, you're going to feel better about yourself. Whatever embarrassing moment you think is the worst, we are going to make you feel better about yourself. It's a little bit of magic here. Morning show magic coming up 15 minutes from now on Fox Sports Radio. You did?
At a Penn State game.
You got kicked off the sideline? What'd you do?
Yeah, what happened?
I was harassing a referee.
Yeah?
Well, you would have been very justified based on what happened this past week.
Okay, yeah. Explain this. So there was a third down. They made him punt on third down.
They messed up the downs, man. And like Coach Franklin
simple
was like.
Simple mistake, LeVar. I mean,
it's only the biggest game of our season.
Yeah,
you know,
but,
and you got us kicking a punt in one of the biggest moments of the game.
LeVar, you had a wide out. You can't get everything in life. You know what I mean? All like, right. Come on, man. Advantage.
Here's the problem with this, and this is something that Notre Dame's dealt with for a long, long time. Where are those officials from?
The SEC.
And we always had that, right? Like the Bush push game. Pac-12 officials.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
So, you know, at the end of the game, who does it benefit the most? And I'm not making a conspiracy theory on this.
It's just real.
That's real. That's how
it
is.
Real.
And,
yeah, you're going to be
And honestly,
part, you know,
the partial. Funny thing that you just said, though, LeVar, is when you're more familiar with those officials, they tend to, you know, maybe tolerate more. Maybe they know the players better. Like, I always knew the older I got, because we played a decent amount of Big Ten teams, and so I'd see those Big Ten officials a decent amount. I remember when I was a freshman and I started on the road versus Purdue. And I'll never forget Stuart Swaggart had a cheap shot on me at one point earlier in that game. And I literally turned to the ref and was like, really? Like, you're going to let him do that? And he just kind of looked at me and just walked away. If that ever happened, ever, my junior or senior year, there would have been a couple flags.
Yeah.
Not just one, a couple. And it was almost like they had to know you. You kind of had to earn that respect. That's real at the college level, NFL level, whatever the case is. But the more familiarity you have, the more likely they might be willing to listen to you, especially if you tell them something or, hey, keep an eye on this. This guy's doing this. They like to do this. I just think that's where college football faces a big issue right now, because we love these non-conference games. But unfortunately, what they need to do is get rid of having officials for each conference and have one overriding officiating crew, and the way they teach them to implement these rules, their techniques, and everything else. So pass interference looks the same in the SEC as it does the Big Ten or the Pac-12.
So you think because of the conference the officials work that they have a bias in certain games?
100%.
100%. We're human.
All right. I mean, listen, I mean, it sounds like a conspiracy theory to me. I mean, I don't know. Like, it sounds like, you know, I mean, making accusations here against officials.
I mean, it's the truth. It was an SEC team playing in a hostile environment. They felt like they needed to defend their SEC boys. Those are our guys.
Hey.
Like, if they do well, we do well. If they win this game, we win this game. That was, I guess, the agreement. We get you at home, but we get our officials. We bring our officials in.
See, but you know what? What does that tell you about where Penn State's at?
We said we could do it.
Yeah, even with all that.
Even with you making us kick the ball on third down, we still got you.
Yet, for some reason, you're still outside the top five. It's bizarre. I mean, disrespectful.
Outside of top four, which doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, disrespectful. I mean, you know,
who was Oklahoma beat? And I was just there.
Yeah.
I mean, who did they beat?
I mean, Nebraska's a powerhouse. What are you talking about? And plus, Oklahoma was given a little bit more credit for that win because they had to kick off at such an early start time. You know, so they needed to make sure that they got to.
All I'll say is I was a retired player when this happened to me, and I was berating that referee. I should have been kicked off the sideline. I would have kicked myself off the sideline. He told me, I said, do you know who you're saying has to lead the sideline? I said, this is Penn State. You can't kick me off the sideline. He says, if this guy is on the sideline when I come out, we are calling this game. I said, call his bluff. I said, well, they didn't. They didn't. They removed me from the sideline.
Had you been drinking?
No. Oh. Yes. But it was not a drunken. It was totally legit.
Yes.
Like they, because my thing is, I don't pop off on bad calls. I pop off on when you don't make calls, and they're clearly doing things that are, like, putting the players in danger. If it's a player safety health issue, I will pop all the way off. And in this particular game, they were allowing certain things to take place, and it was late. And think about it. It was so far and so late off of the field that I'm standing right in the referee's face. You know what I mean? Like, they were hitting them so far out of bounds. I think it was like – it might have been Mike Robinson that was the quarterback for Penn State at that point. Yes, Mike Robinson that played fullback. And I won't even bring up, because I don't even want people to even be able to try to look this
up.
But because it might have been written about. I don't know. But they were clearly blasting my guy out of bounds and, like, dragging him down and rolling on him. And I'm like, what are you doing?
Get
these dudes off of him, right? And I'm like, so it happened at least two or three times right in front of me, like the irony of it. It was right in front of me. And I look at the ref. I said, ref, this is on you, ref. This is on you, right? And the referee looked at me. He's like, get him off of the sideline. Get him off of the sideline. I was like, you get on the field and you get off the sideline because you're not in the game, ref. He's like, get him off of the sideline. Then it went to halftime, and they were like, if this guy's on the sideline, when we come back out on the field, we're calling the game. And I was like, yeah, whatever.
And then
they came
it.
And grabbed me and took me in.
I'm Googling it right now.
Yeah, you won't find it.
Yeah, I think
you
could.
You won't find it.
Listen, LeVar Arrington.
Kicked off. It might pop up.
Sideline.
It really might pop up.
It might pop up.
I don't know. LeVar Arrington,
I didn't strain him. You were straining.
Okay.
Look, you saw that first headline?
Yeah,
like, there'd be some
alone.
Stuff popping up, man.
You know that. Never mind all that.
Hey, my life is real, dog. Don't make no mistake about it.
Incognito search here on this Wi-Fi certainly helps out a lot.
Hey,
all right.
I cleared my background check.
That's all right.
It wasn't me to get in trouble.
All right, so we are going to.
I haven't cleared mine yet. Should I be concerned about this?
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, okay. It'd be the ones that you thought it wasn't that ended up being the ones that were. You know what I mean?
Hey, I want to ask this question here because it seems pretty obvious to me. Before we get to break, Tampa Bay is the best team in the league, right?
They look really good.
They haven't lost since their bye week last season. And if you go back to that game, that was Kansas City in the second half of that game. From the second half of that game on, I think they've been the best team in the NFL through the playoffs.
Then where do you put the Cowboys? Because the Cowboys could have damn near beat them week one.
Well, listen, I could have.
They had them beat.
Listen, I could have. Never mind. I don't know where to go there. I'm not going to make that joke.
They had them beat.
Leave that one alone.
I mean, Atlanta is just going to struggle. That defense, man. Whew.
I need to I need to see them against another good team before I start going down that road.
Well, but listen, I'm with you. But my power rankings.
But you're supposed to do what they did to the Falcons. Yeah. So, and they pulled out the game against the Cowboys.
What are you laughing at, Brady?
Hold on. My power Lavar's rankings. Not even catching on to what you just said.
No, say that.
My power rankings. The Bucks are number one.
Yeah.
Jonas is low key making fun of all the people out there with power
what
rankings.
What do you mean?
Like it matters. Like it matters how we think you rank the league. Like. Whatever your power rank is. Who cares?
Yeah, I peeped them out. I just try to push through Jonas sometimes. You know what I mean?
Well, the funny thing is always with the power rankings. It's like, okay, basically at this point, we're 2 weeks in the season. Yeah. Are you not just going to rank teams for the most part based on their records?
Yes, of course.
But here's where it gets interesting, Brady. Who's your number two on your power rankings, Jonas?
The greatness of the Raiders.
Listen, you want to know who my number two is?
Yes.
All right. I'll tell you next here.
You got to figure it out.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe. It's LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. That's right. Formerly OutKick the Coverage. It is the big news of the morning for us, at least, that we are now the permanent hosts here in this time slot. Going to be a lot of fun, guys, going over the NFL and all sorts of goofy stuff from around the world of sports here with you. It's going to be a blast. We will be hopefully invited back tomorrow to take over for day two of the show. Based on the gyrations in the studio by LeVar Arrington.
I'm air
right
guitaring it, man.
There's a reason why.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah.
Yeah, is that what that is?
That was air guitar. Oh,
okay, look a trombone.
Yeah. I thought the weather was
touching it right now.
Interesting.
I thought the weather was on in the studio again.
Hey. It got awkward in
could
here.
Could be
real
worse.
Quick.
Could have been a harmonica.
It's not your best work today, Jonas.
I'm just saying. Listen, it's a compliment.
I'm just trying to get it in.
Yeah. There it is.
Okay. Well, that is always the case.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I won't take those words back. Yeah, I don't know.
Happy Father's Day.
Oh.
All right.
Wow. 9 months later, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right.
8 and a half sometimes.
All right, then.
Speak for yourself. All right. So here we go.
Sometimes they're ready to get up out of there.
That's good. You know, just shadows, you know?
All right.
So here we are. It's time to do a little something we do on the show called this.
You moron.
How could you not get to these stories?
You moron.
These are the scraps.
And for that, we turn it over to our executive producer, Lee DeLapp, to find out what the hell we've missed so far on the show and what the hell we've been talking about so far, Lee, that you dislike. Please, give it to us, Lee.
Yeah, I don't dislike anything, Jonas, but 49ers might dislike this. Even though they got away with the win, it was a tough day for them. Even though, you know, they lost Raheem Mostert, season-ending left knee injury. Well, they lost three more running backs yesterday. Within a span of 5 minutes, you guys, Elijah Mitchell with a right shoulder, ankle injury for Jermichael Hasty, and a concussion for Trey Sermon.
Man. Yeah, well,
that's crazy.
They're definitely not my number two team in my power rankings, I'll tell you that.
Oh, okay. We never revisited that either, by the way.
I can tell you it's not the Niners. Okay. I'll tell you that right now.
It's definitely the Rams. He's a big L.A. Rams fan.
No, I'm not totally sold on the Rams. All right, so then, what's the plan for the 49ers? Who are they bringing in at running? Who's available right now? What about Adrian Peterson? Is Adrian Peterson – Frank Gore?
No, he's out there. Frank
Gore's
out there.
Like, why not? Frank Gore's a former 49er.
Bring them both in.
Yeah, let's go.
Bring them both in.
Why not?
Wow.
You need healthy bodies.
He's in a box. He's
going
to be a boxer. Frank Gore.
Is he? Frank
Gore's
going to be a boxer?
Well, he said if he doesn't get called for by a team – He would potentially have a bout, yeah.
Oh.
Interesting. I mean, look, like they end up doing that, he could end up being they could end up being number two on my power rankings. I'm just saying, like,
stop.
You know, whatever it's worth. All right, what else we got, Lee?
Why not bring them back where it all started? But go ahead.
Yeah.
Well, as you guys know, the NFL decided to make taunting calls a point of emphasis this season. I don't know if you saw a number of taunting calls yesterday. Let's see, Tashaun Gibson, Bears cornerback, he was clapping in the face of Jamar Chase after he broke up a pass. Jordan Atkins taunting, spinning the ball after catching Davis Mills' first career pass or first career completion. We had DJ Reed after breaking up a touchdown pass to Julio Jones, and Jared Cook doing the feed Zeke sign at Zeke following the game after a touchdown.
All the things they could correct
And that's what they
chose
to go with.
And this is what they're going with. That's
still
shocking.
Entertainment. But, you know, I guess they're trying to show better sportsmanship, you know?
By the way, it's cold out here, man.
It's cold out here.
Automatic first down and 15 yards? I mean, that's the equivalent to if you murdered someone on the field.
Oh,
it would be
Jesus,
the same punishment.
God.
I'm just saying.
My God.
I mean, I'm telling the truth.
On the field is 15 you could, yards?
It could be, what was it, the Last Boy Scout? What was that movie?
Where he pulls like, that.
Yeah,
that's
what he
started busting caps.
Yeah. Great movie.
Yeah. Like, you know what they'd say? They throw the flag and they go, automatic first down, 15 yards. I mean, the same thing. It's ridiculous.
Where he pulls out the hand
Billy Cole.
Cannon.
Billy Cole.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Interesting.
What else we got, Lee?
It was a bad day for Pittsburgh Steelers fans yesterday, as the Raiders said to them.
Yeah. This is great.
I love how you guys are being real loud and obnoxious about this, but go ahead.
No, the story is great, not the loss.
No, just Birdo back there egging it on. Like,
the great
okay, you won.
He's playing the air guitar, too, right now.
You guys won. Yeah. Okay,
well,
there you go.
It was particularly bad for this one fan, you guys. Wearing a Jerome Bettis jersey is one thing.
A Jerome Bettis. Y'all so disrespectful
Jerome
back
Jettis
there.
Jersey.
All right, let's go.
Well, he's now immortalized. He was photographed in the Heinz Field bathroom washing his soiled pants.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He jettisoned his pants. That's what he did.
Well, at least him doing what the Steelers did on the field yesterday was not just left there. It was cleaned up.
I have a theory.
Okay.
I have a theory.
What is it?
I think he's such a big Jerome Bettis fan that he had some of that Campbell's Chunky Soup before the game that Jerome used to do advertisements for. That's what I think what happened. And so you see what happened was it got a little messy.
See what had happened was.
I'm going to defend this guy.
I mean, at least he was willing to clean it up.
Yeah, listen, he was willing to clean it up. And I've never been to Heinz Field. I don't know what sort of washing apparatuses they've got there. If they've
got communal.
The quality. Listen. Like I'm gonna now. I don't know what he scrubbed it with.
He's being considerate.
Okay, what if he scrubbed it with his hands, then we got a problem.
That's a fan with manners. Why? Because he still can wash his hands off with the soap.
Here's the funny part
about it to me. I had a buddy send that to me, and so if a buddy sends it to you, they're immediately essentially saying like, hey, I've been there before.
Oh,
like they're admitting
funny.
Guilt to
Who
I've been there before.
That, me.
I have not been there.
Yeah.
I have not done
that. Yeah, me neither.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. Oh, jeez.
I mean,
I didn't know that this was common.
Well, look, I mean,
I could see you having an accident or whatever, but going and cleaning the chunky soup. I just didn't know that was a thing.
I mean, listen, they make diapers for a reason. I'm just saying.
They call them Depends. Shouts out to Depends.
Yeah. All right, well.
Maybe you should get a discount on Depends when you have Campbell's Chunky Soup, right?
I mean,
can't trust a Ford. I'm just saying, man.
They should create a bundle pack of Campbell's Soup and Depends.
Unbelievable. Just class acts here on the show. by the way, hopefully we're going to be back for show number two here on Fox Sports. Radio, two pros and a couple of
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.